Pesach this year is different from every other Pesach. I'll explain. The dinim are different this year.
Why? Last year was the same day, Tuesday and Wednesday.
No. Yeah. This year is Ashnas Abiyur. Huh?
It's the third year.
This Pesach is different from every other Pesach. The din in this Pesach are different. The Torah has a din that all of the years are divided up into units of 7 years each. Cycles of Shemitah. Every seventh year is a Shemitah, and after seven Shemitahs, after every 49 years, you're supposed to have a Yovel. If you have a Bezna Godel, who's counting the years. Today we don't have any Bezna Godel counting, so we don't have any Yovel at all. But years ago, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when they still had the Beis HaMikdash counting in Eretz Yisrael, so they had a Yovel. Shemitah, we assume, doesn't need any Bezin to count. Although it's Bemis in the same Pasuk in Parshas Bahar. It says, Esfartam Lechem... No, that's the wrong Pasuk. It says, at the beginning of Parshas Bahar... Right... It doesn't say, it says v'safar talacha. It says v'safar talacha. V'safar talacha means, lashon yachid, means that it's a mitzvah that's chal on bezin. If it would say esfartam lachem, then it would imply that it's a mitzvah that's chal on every individual Jew. But because it says v'safar talacha, the Sifra says that it's a mitzvah on the whole Klal Yisrael as a unit. So the Bezna Godel does that mitzvah. So the Chumash reads that the Bezna Godel should count the years, and they should add up. Every seventh year should be a Shemitah, and every 50th year should be a Yovel. So the question is, do you need a Bezin to count only to create Yovel, or do you even need a Bezin to count in order to create Shemitah? If you need a Bezin to count in order to have Shemitah, then today there wouldn't be any Shemitah at all, not Menater, not Midrabbanan, the Shemitah wouldn't exist. This is the opinion of the Baal HaMor and the Ravid, the Baal HaMor and Gittin. The Perek HaShaleach says that Bizman Hazeh, there's no Shemitah, not Menater, not Midrabbanan. I in the Gemara, you see that the Chachami were afraid of Shemitah's Ksofim that would make a Pruzbol. He says that was a Midas Chassidus. But me Yikir Adin, there's no Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, not Menatorah, not Midrabbanan. Needless to say, the other Poskim don't hold like that, because whenever it comes to Shemitah, everybody makes a big fuss. What are you going to do in Eretz Yisrael? You're going to sell away into the Arabs? You're going to make a Het Mechireh? What are you going to do? Yeah. So we assume either Shemitah is Menatorah, like the minority opinion assumes, or that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is Midrabbanan, like the majority of the Poskim assume. We don't follow this Baal HaMor and the Ravid who think the Shemitah doesn't exist at all, Bizman Daleka Bezin counting. Yovel depends on the Bezin counting, but Shemitah does not. Actually, if you read the Psukim in Bahar, we can understand why the other Rishonim disagree with the Baal HaMor and the Ramban. Because at the very beginning of Bahar, the Torah right away gives the dinim of Shemitah. And then there's a Parsha, in other words, a new paragraph, and then it starts giving the dinim of Yovel with the introduction of counting. Why doesn't it give the counting in the beginning of the whole Parsha, that Bezin HaGadol should count 7 years, and every seventh year should be Shemitah, and then Bezin HaGadol should continue to count, and every 50th year should be over. No, it doesn't say about counting in the very beginning. First it gives the laws of Shemitah, as if the Shemitah rolls on, the Shemitah happens by itself, just like Shabbos happens by itself. Shabbos, nobody has to be Koveya, so the Shemitah also happens by itself. And then, when that paragraph is over, and you start another section in the Chumash, a separate parasha that says about the laws of Yovel, then it says that Bezin HaGadol has to count. Implying, that's how most of the Rishonim assume against the Baal HaMor and Ramban, that you only need the counting of the Bezdin to create the Shnas HaYovel, but to create the Shnas HaShmita, there's no need for a Minyan HaBezdin. So again, the Chumash tells us that the years are divided into units of Yovel, then into units of Shmita, and then within the Shmita, again, there are three different units. Every unit of 7 years is broken down further into three units. You have the first 3 years, the next 3 years, and the last year is the Shmita. The first 3 years... There's no 50th year. It's the first year. You go 7, 7, 7, 7. The Yovel, what? That's how the Rambam writes. We follow today the opinion of the Gonim that the Yovel doesn't happen by itself as the 50th year. The Ravid disagrees. The Rambam writes that Leolim, he thinks that today, even though we don't observe the laws of Yovel, Yovel should be a separate year. But he says the Gonim say not so, and we follow the tradition of the Gonim. And the Ravid writes that you should follow the Rambam's opinion. That today also the Yovel should be a blank year, a separate year. Even though you don't observe the laws of Yovel, the Yovel should be a separate year. But we don't do that. We follow what the Rambam says is the opinion of the Gonim. Even though he doesn't like it, he says we should follow the Gonim because they lived in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what their practice was. That they did not have the 50th year as something separate. So this Pesach is different from all other Pesachim. It's not different from every other Pesach in the history of the world, but it's different from most Pesachim in that this year is the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle. This is a Shnas HaBiur. What that means is the following. Every unit of 7 years, we call that a Shemitah. The seventh year is called Shnas HaShemitah. And in the Mishneic Hebrew, the word Shemitah refers to a unit of 7 years. Like Yovel refers to the Shnas HaYovel, the 50th year is called the Shnas HaYovel. And every unit of 50 years is also called a unit of a Yovel. The Mishnah says when the Edom come to Bezdin, and the Bezdin has to interrogate them, so the Bezdin asks, Be'ezah Yovel, which unit of Yovel did you see the murder occur in? Which unit of Shemitah did you see it occur in? They don't know that it happened on the Shnas HaYovel. Be'ezah Yovel means which a unit of 50 years is called a Yovel. And the Shemitah refers to the unit of 7 years. In addition to the fact that Shemitah refers to the Shnas HaShemitah, the seventh year itself, it has a double meaning. So within every unit of 7 years, which is called a unit of a Shemitah, you have the first 3 years, the next 3 years, and the seventh year is a Shemitah. The first 3 years, the mitzvahs of Hafroshes, Trumas, and Maizes run as follows. The first 2 years, your mafresh first Truma Gedoyla, and anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael, you have to take first Truma Gedoyla, 2%, give it to the Kohanim. Then you take 10%, give it to the Levim, that's Maizah Rishon. Then your mafresh 10% of what's left, that's not going to be 10% of everything, it's going to be 9% of the whole, because you've already taken off 10% and given to the Levim. So now you take 10% of what's left, and you give that to, and that's called Maisa Sheni. What do you do with the Maisa Sheni? You're supposed to bring the fruits to Yerushalayim, the fruits, the vegetables with the grain, whatever it is, and you eat it there. If you don't have any mizbeach in Yerushalayim, you can't eat it. Or if you are tomei, or if everybody's tomei, or the parents are tomei, so no one is able today. Nobody can eat Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim because of these three reasons. Number one, everybody's tomei, and you're not permitted to eat it betuma. Number two, all the parents Maisa Sheni are tomei. Number three, there's no mizbeach. So the Gemara has a pasuk. Gemara in Zvachim Daf Samach learns out from a pasuk that whenever there's no mizbeach in Yerushalayim, then you're not permitted to eat the Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim. So what do you do if you can't eat the Maisa Sheni? You throw it out in the garbage. So the din is no. You can be poded. You poded the Maisa Sheni out the money, and then the money has kedushas Maisa Sheni. Then you throw the money in the garbage. What do you gain? If this is worth $100, this is worth $1,000. That's worth $1,000. So Taisa says you gain a lot because just like we have a din by Hegdish, that if Hegdish is worth $1,000 and you give a pruta, you cheated Hegdish. You will pay the Hegdish, which is shoving money. And Hegdish is worth $100,000. You give one penny, so b'di'eved, mechula, the pidyon is valid. So Tosis shows, Tosis is mechadish, that this din applies also to Maisa Sheni. So if you have a ton of Maisa Sheni that's worth thousands of dollars, you can be paid all of the Maisa Sheni, bizman hazeh, on a pruta. In the days of the Beis HaMikdosh, when you're supposed to eat the Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim, then it will be forbidden to do that because you're not allowed to cheat the Maisa Sheni. If you would do it with the Yeved, it would be chal, it would be valid, but you wouldn't be allowed to do it l'chatchila. But b'zman hazeh, you're not really cheating the Maisa Sheni at all, because what are you going to do with the Maisa Sheni? Throw it out in the garbage. So you're going to throw out, instead of $1,000 worth of fruits, you're going to throw out $1,000 in cash, so it doesn't make any difference. So the din is that b'zman hazeh, we allow it even l'chatchila because there's no psay to the Maisa Sheni. So the din is that today, and any fruits or vegetables or grain or anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael, so if it grew in the first 2 years of the Shemitah, or if it grew in the fourth year or the fifth year in the Shemitah cycle, you have to be mafresh first Maisa Rishon, and then first year mafresh Truma Gedoyla, then you mafresh Maisa Rishon, then you take out one tenth of what's left as Maisa Sheni. You take out one tenth as Maisa Sheni. Now that Maisa Sheni, you have to be poured onto money, onto a prut. On the third year of the Shemitah, or on the sixth year of the Shemitah, the last year of the three-year unit, the last year of the three-year unit, the third year and the sixth year, after taking out Truma Gedoyla, Maisa Rishon, instead of taking out Maisa Sheni and having to be poded, the din requires you're supposed to take out Maisa Roni, one-tenth of what's left after taking out Maisa Rishon, and you're supposed to distribute that to the Ani. They live off of leket, shikha, peyah. The Levi gets Maisa Rishon every year, right? Right. The Aniyim live off of whatever. Off of stock, off of leket, shikha, peyah, whatever they have to have. Chumash. You're right. The Gemara, it doesn't say black on white, but this is how the Rashi quotes the Gemaras, which interpret the Pesukim of Chumash. Now the Torah has a din that on the Pesach of the fourth year in the Shemitah cycle, after the first unit of 3 years is up, or on the Pesach of the seventh year of the cycle, after the second unit of 3 years are up, After you've completed a unit, we give the farmer a half a year. In Rosh Hashanah time, Rosh Hashanah, let's say Rosh Hashanah of the fourth year, so the 3 year cycle is up. Or Rosh Hashanah of the Shemitah year, the last 3 year cycle is up. Years go from Tishrei to Tishrei. So we give the farmer a half a year from Rosh Hashanah to Pesach to give away all of the truma that he's supposed to give away, all the Ma'aser Rishon, all the Ma'aser Rani, to give everything away, the Bikurim, whatever he happens to have sitting around the house he should give away. And if he has still Ma'aser Sheni, he has to eat it up quickly before comes Pesach. What if he doesn't have the Ma'aser Sheni? What if he was putting the Ma'aser Sheni onto money? So the din is that he has to either take his money to Yerushalayim and buy his food before Pesach comes, before Pesach of the fourth year, or before Pesach of the seventh year comes. And if he doesn't, if he's unable to buy food with his money, like today, we're not permitted to buy the food with the Ma'aser Sheni money, because we are Tamei, and the food will be Tamei, and there's no Mizbeach in Yerushalayim. So the din requires that you have to destroy your coin. You have to take an acid and destroy your coin. Or if you find that it's against the law to destroy American coin, against the government laws. So if a person is very patriotic and he wants to follow the laws of the government, so he won't destroy his coin with an acid, he has to take his coin and throw it into the ocean.
Excuse me, what about Ma'aser Sheni, that because we're Tumim, over there they don't call Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur?
No. Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur only applies by a Korban Tzibur, Shizmano Kavua, by a Korban that you have to give Dafka, you have to bring Dafka on a specific day. And that even when it does apply, it only applies with respect to being makriv the korban, not with respect to eating it, with the one exception of korban Pesach. That the korban Pesach, that's bo betum, is also nechal betum. So this Pesach has a special din. It's the shnas habiur. This is the fourth year of the Shemitah cycle. Similar din, something like noisa. By noisa the din is that after the zman is up, then you're not permitted to eat it. Here it's an isa, not to leave it till that zman. If you have it, you're supposed to destroy it by the time it comes that zman. Here you have to destroy it before this month comes. Here you destroy it after this month. Something similar to Nosa. So there is a din of Biur, that this Pesach is the Shnas HaBiur, the Pesach of the fourth year. Just like Pesach of the seventh year has the halacha of Shnas HaBiur, that you have to destroy your coin. We don't have any Ma'aser Sheni food around, but we have money with which we were paid in Ma'aser Sheni. Those people who live in Eretz Yisrael for sure have it. Many people live in America also have coins. When they buy products from Eretz Yisrael, so many times they're afraid that perhaps The Rabbanut only takes responsibility for Hafroshes Trumas and Ma'aser sometimes on the products that are sold in Eretz Yisrael. They don't always take responsibility for the products sold in America, unless it says on the label that it has a Hashgach of the Rabbanut. In Eretz Yisrael, everything they sell in Trumva has a Hashgach. But in America, when they sell fruits in America from Israel, it doesn't always have a Hashgach unless it has on the label that everything is taken care of. So let's say if you buy fruits or vegetables and you think that maybe they were not Mafish Ma'aser Sheni, you have to be Mafish Ma'aser Sheni here. Mafish the Truma, the Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Sheni, and so on. Then you have to be paid in the Ma'aser Sheni. That money on which you were paid in the Ma'aser Sheni has to be destroyed before Pesach. Then the Chumash has a din that you say Vidui Ma'aser. The din of Vidui Ma'aser doesn't apply this man as that. The Chumash says the Anis of Yamarta Lefnei Hashem Lakecho. Excuse me, that's the pasuk.
That's Bikurim.
How does the pasuk say by Vidui Ma'aser? V'yarti Hakadosh Min Abayis Gam Nesat. How does that begin? V'yamarta lefnei Hashem lakecha. V'yamarta lefnei Hashem lakecha. Right. V'yaniso v'yamarta, you say b'kol rom. V'yaniso means b'kol rom. But the vidui maisa, the Gemara says, you say b'lachash. You don't say b'kol rom. Because the vidui maisa, the person prides himself. He tells the Rebbeinu Shlomo, I have fulfilled all the mitzvahs that you've told me, and therefore I ask of you to give in return the promise that you gave, that Eretz Yisrael should be safe and secure, and everything should grow well in Eretz Yisrael. So when the person is priding himself and bragging that he's fulfilled all the mitzvahs, so the Gemara says we don't recommend that he should say the kol rom. He should say it softly. When he says the mikra bikurim, he says arami avid aviv, ayered mitzrayma, he says that our forefathers worshipped avodah zarah, and love and harami wanted to kill us, and so on. He's saying, he's not bragging, he's not saying about the wonderful nitzim and the flaws that he did. He's talking about the Rebbeinu Shlom saving us, that he can say the kol rom. But when he says the vidui maiser, on the Pesach of the fourth year, the Pesach of the seventh year, when he's supposed to recite the Vidur Meiser, when he says, "Biyarti Hakodesh Min Abayis V'gam Nesatav LaLev Yosisik Kachol Hashem Tzivisoni," I fulfilled Lo Shachachti. I did every single mitzvah in connection with the Trumas and Meisers. So the Gemara says, and so to that you're not supposed to brag the Kol Rom. That you say Balachos. That's why it doesn't say V'yonisa V'yamar. V'yonisa means the Kol Rom.
That they also didn't have the Kanan given, the way they did with Bikurim.
Maybe they did. I don't know, Mishnah doesn't mention over there. Mishnah doesn't say. So the Mishnah says in the end of Soto that we no longer fulfill this mitzvah of Vidui Meister. The Rambam and the Ravid have a machlokes whether the mitzvah of Vidui Meister only applies in the Beis HaMikdash or even Chutz LaMikdash, because the pasuk says V'yamarta lefnei Hashem alakecho, you should say in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many times the word lefnei Hashem alakecho means in the Azara, and many times it doesn't. Let's say a person davens lefnei Hashem, he davens, well, he has to daven davki in the Azara. We just daven Ma'ariv here, and it's also davening lefnei Hashem. So sometimes the word lefnei Hashem has a technical connotation that means mamish in the Beis HaMikdash. Right. And sometimes lefnei Hashem means all over the world you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam and the Ravid have a machlokes, and a din d'oraisa, how to translate the pasuk of Yamarta lefnei Hashem lekecha by vidui maisa, whether it only applies when the farmer is in the Azara and he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have fulfilled all the mitzvahs in connection with the Trumas and Maisis, and therefore I ask of you that you should protect Eretz Yisrael and give us Peres that I should have another fruitful year. Or it applies even if he's Chutz LaMikdash. If you should follow that opinion that it only applies in the Beis HaMikdash, then we are all Tameim today, so we are unable to walk into the Mokam Azara. So we understand quite well why we can't fulfill the mitzvah of Vidui Maisa. But even if not, even if one should assume like the other opinion, that one can fulfill Vidui Maisa even not in the Azara, still the Mishnah tells us in the end of Soto that we no longer fulfill this mitzvah Vidui Maisa, because we can't really say with a straight face that we have done all the mitzvahs properly. What do you mean we've done? So the Mishnah goes, Bizman, at a time that they really used to fulfill all the mitzvahs, they were Machash, Trumas, and Maisas and everything, but the Maisa Rishon they wouldn't give to the Levi. The Gemara says in Ksubis that Ezra, when Ezra led Bnei Yisrael back in the beginning of the period of the Bayi Sheni, he penalized the Levim, because so few Levim came back from Babel. He penalized the Levim that instead of giving Maaser Rishon to the Levi, we should give it to the Kohen. So the Gemara says in the end of Sota that during the period of the Bayi Sheni, because the people didn't fulfill the mitzvah the way they were supposed to, he's supposed to give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi, not supposed to give it to the Kohen. So therefore the farmer cannot say with a straight face, Asisi kuchol asher tzivisani lo avartim im tzisachu lo shechokta, I fulfilled all the mitzvahs. He didn't. He did what the Chachamim told him to do, which is not to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa. The Rabbanim told us not to do the mitzvah deraisa properly. They told us not to give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. That's why today we don't fulfill this aspect, this mitzvah vidui maisa. But even though you don't do the vidui maisa, you don't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we've done all the mitzvahs properly, and therefore we ask of you to give us a bracha, that we don't do, because we don't recite that tchina, because we really didn't fulfill all the mitzvahs properly at all. But the other mitzvah of biur does apply. So that's what the halacha is, that this year anybody who happens to have a Maaser Sheni coin should either destroy the coin before Pesach with some acid, or if he wants to be patriotic, he should throw it into the ocean, not to destroy. Some people have friends who have coins in Eretz Yisrael. Rather than walking around in America with coins, having a coin in your drawer in America, so some people have friends in Eretz Yisrael who have what's called a Pruta Chamura. They have a big coin, which they were paid several times. You can be paid in Maaser Sheni. Let's say you have a coin that has 100 pennies in it. Let's say you have a dollar in Eretz Yisrael that has 100 pennies in it. So you can be paid up to 100 times on that coin. You can use 1 penny's worth of the dollar to be paid in Maaser Sheni on one occasion, another penny to be paid another batch of Maaser Sheni, and so on. So some friends, some people have a setup where their friends have a coin in Eretz Yisrael, and they give them permission in America to use their coin for Piggy Maaser Sheni purposes. In fact, the shul where I daven in Washington Heights published in his newsletter that Rabbi Neuwirth from Kol Torah gives everybody from the shul permission to use his matbeya if they ever want to be paid as a Maaser Sheni. This is actually a big problem, because what kind of a coin does he have? He probably has an Israeli coin. He doesn't have an American coin. Now, an Israeli coin is not legal tender in America. And the din is that one has to be paid a Maaser Sheni on a matbeya. Aloha says that when you mekadesh an ishi, you can mekadesh either with kesef or with shavei kesef. And when you buy karka, when you sell a chametz to the goy can be kind of with kesef or with shavei kesef. Whenever the halacha requires kesef, when you make pidyon haben, you can give kesef or shavei kesef. You don't have to give dafke kesh. You can give jewelry, you can give anything you want. But when you pay the Maaser Sheni, the din requires that you have to be paid the Maaser Sheni dafke on kesh, and not to be paid on shavei kesef. What's the definition of kesh? Kesh means whatever is legal tender. Now, Israeli coins are not legal tender in America. So, in Israel it's legal tender. In Israel it's legal tender. But in America it's not. So you would be involved in a machlokas. It's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, based on two girsas in the Gemara, in the end of Bava Kama. Where does it have to be legal tender? Where do you... In the place where the money is? Or in the place where the food is? Or in the place where the person is? let's say I'm in Canada and I have Maaseh Sheni in New York, and Rabbi Neuwirth's coin is in Bayit Vegan, and he gives me permission to use his coin. So does it depend on Canadian coins or Israeli coins or American coins? Do you go according to where the coin is or where the food is that's being lifted, the Maaseh Sheni is, or where the person is doing the pidyon is? So the Rambam and the Rabbi have a machlokas about this based on two girsas in the Gemara. So the best thing is that you should always be paida in such a way that you know for sure that the person is being paida and the food that is being paida and the money that he's using to be paida are all belong to the same country, to make sure that you're not involved in any shaila as to what kind of currency to use. So that's why this Pesach is taka different from all other Pesach. That's why the Shiran Hilchos Pesach this year has to begin with a different din. The din of the biur, that anybody who has, I'm sure many people have, no? Don't have? Okay, I thought you would. Those people who happen to have Maaseh Sheni coins have to get rid of them before Pesach of this year. I mean, they give you permission to use their coins. Right, right. So that's the problem. Kozman, that you are in Israel. Kozman, you are in Israel, it's fine. Once you come to America and then you're using an Israeli coin to be paid fruits or vegetables in America, then you get involved in a machlokes.
But you just said that you can only use it if you have a dollar coin, you can only use it 100 times.
Right.
How do these organizations know? They give you permission. How do they know what's going on?
Right. So the Chazon Ish worked out a system that solved that problem. You have another coin. Let's say you have a silver dollar bill which you can use up to 100 times, and you have another silver dollar. So the person who owns these two coins says that as soon as this whole coin is filled up, that all 100 pennies of this coin will become Kaddish, B'dushas, Maaseh Sheni. I am hereby paida all of the 100 pennies onto one penny of the next coin. And then he says later, and as soon as that coin gets used up, I'm hereby paida all 100 pennies worth of Maaseh Sheni back on the first coin, on the one penny of the first coin. So you can go back and forth. You just keep on shrinking your Maaseh Sheni.
But American money is legal tender in Israel.
No, it's also Shavi Kesef in Israel. It's not legal tender. Even though everybody will accept it, it's Yotze Bahitzor. But it's not legal tender. The Halacha says that it's only called Kesef if the government recognizes it as cash, not as a commodity. It's accepted as a commodity, but it's not cash then.
So your question,
do
you actually mint a specific coin?
No, no. They don't mint specific coins. No. But you have to use coins that are recognized by the government of that country. That's the machloikas that we mentioned, where the paper money is considered kesef or considered shtoris. So even though most of the poskim assume that paper money is considered kesef, and not shavu kesef, but they all say for pidyon Maaseh Sheni purposes, the minhag always was, and they continue like that we don't use paper money. They give a whole reason. Some say he gives a whole reason why. The preparations for Pesach al pidin begin with bedikas kom. Everything else, that the women clean the house and everything, and you buy the matzah and you buy the wine, that's not al pidin. The first halachic preparation for Pesach begins with the bedikas chometz, and then the Gemara says habayik tzarich sheivatu. After you do the bedikas chometz, then you have to make bitul. You have to make a declaration that any chometz that you have in your house, you are hereby mevatul. What does it mean you mevatul it? What does that mean exactly? So there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What is bitul all about? Rashi says that when you declare that your chametz is batel, you are fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. But we always think the mitzvah of tashbisu means to destroy the chametz, either to destroy b'sreifa, like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, or to be mefarav b'zol ruach, to flush the chametz down the toilet, or to crumble it up in tiny pieces, in tiny crumbs, and wash it down the sink, or to throw it in the wind and have it scatter all over the place. According to the Chacham, you can destroy the chametz in any fashion. According to Rabbi Yehuda, dafka yidei biur. How can Rashi say that one fulfills the mitzvah of biur chametz by making a declaration that you mevatel it? So Rashi's opinion is yes. That depends when it is. If it's before the Zman Isur Hanor, if it's any time before the morning of Erev Pesach, and you are able to be mevatel your chametz, then you can fulfill the mitzvah by bitul. If you wait till after Chatzos. On Erev Pesach, you wait till after Chatzos in the afternoon, then you're no longer able to be Mevatel, or Midrabanan, even an hour before Chatzos, around 10:30 this year, even an hour before Chatzos, the Chometz is ready also b'hanor. So then, once the Chometz is also b'hanor, so the person is unable to be Mevatel, then the only way for him to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu is by destroying the Chometz, either destroying it like they straight for according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, or destroying it b'chol oif and sheyi according to the Chachamim's opinion. Rashi claims that this is a valid method of fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisa. And Tosis disagrees with Rashi and says nothing doing at all. That the mitzvah of Tashbisa was only fulfilled if the person destroys the chometz, not by making a declaration. So what is the bitul all about? So Tosis says bitul is what we do by mechiras chometz. Bitul means that you mafkir your chometz. One only violates Balei Rabbi Matzei if he owns his own chometz. If the chometz is shaloi b'shusa, if it belongs to him. If a person has a ton of chometz on the table in his home that belongs to a goy, it's not his chometz, so he doesn't violate Balei Rabbi Matzei. We wouldn't recommend that you should leave the chametz there. People will think that it's your chametz. You may forget and you may eat it, because we eat chametz all year long. But still, strictly speaking, if the chametz doesn't belong to you, so you don't violate Balei Rabbi Matzei. So Tosis says, not only if the chametz belongs to a guy, it belongs to somebody else. What if the chametz belongs to nobody? If the chametz is hefker, so you also don't violate Balei Rabbi Matzei. So Tosis says, that's what the beetle is all about. You're mafkir your chametz, that it no longer belongs to you. You're not fulfilling any mitzvah by doing so, but you are not violating any Balei Rabbi Matzei. This is what we do by selling it to the goy. We're afraid if we'll be mafkir the chametz, some wise guy may come tak and take my schnapps. I have lots of schnapps. Instead of being mafkir the chametz and running the risk of having somebody come and take it and I'll never get it back, I'll sell it to the goy and he'll have to pay me a fortune of money. And if he doesn't want to keep it, he'll sell it back to me at the pay. So I don't lose any money. That's what Tosfos says. And Rashi disagrees. Many Rishonim ask a kasha on Tosfos, Ramban and many others ask a kasha on Tosfos, that the Gemara discusses the possibility of being mevat lechometz on Shabbos. Let's say Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So the person is mevat lechometz on Shabbos. So the Ramban faked a kasha. We have a din with the Rabbana that one is forbidden to do mekach memkar on Shabbos. One is not permitted to sell or to buy. Minatorah, there's also an issa to do mekach memkar. That means if the person sits in the shop all day long, the Rav Chumash describes, let's say minatorah, you're permitted to carry in a kamelus. Minatorah, there's no issa to handle money, it's only muktah, so the whole issa is only the Rabbanim. And minatorah, you can buy and sell, it's only a gzerim of the Rabbanim Shema Yichtov. So let's say you have an Erev around the whole city, and minatorah, you're permitted to write with your left hand. So if you have an Erev around the whole city, so everybody's allowed to carry. And all the customers come in with their money, and muktzah is only with the Rabbanon, and I can sell shoes, and I can sell pocketbooks, and I can sell fruits and vegetables, and whoever buys it, whoever doesn't pay, so I'll mark it down. And whoever does pay, I take the money, I put it in the cash register. So you can have business as usual on Shabbos min HaTorah. So Ramban asks, how can you visualize Shabbos min HaDeraisa? If Merkech Memker is mutter, and muktzah is mutter, and to carry in a camel is mutter, and to do Melocha Kalachayad is mutter. So how is it Shabbosik? So the Ramban says, Avada, in addition to the din that the Ovis malachas are forbidden, one is not allowed to do a malacha, one is not permitted to do ksivin, hoitzil, and so on. And if you do it with the left hand, or you have a karmelus, or whatever, you make an erev, so everything is mutter. But in addition to that, there's another mitzvah says you have Shabbos of Shabbosom, that you want to have a, that's the Ramban and Parshas Amor, you want that Shabbos to look Shabbosik, so you have to have a Shabbosik atmosphere. So if the person does business all day long, then the Chassam Sofer points out in a tshuva based on this Ramban, that's certainly a violation in HaTorah. It's not a malacha min HaTorah, but it's a violation of the mitzvah saseh of Shabbosom. That's not the Shabbos dik. What if the person just sells one thing? Let's say I have an extra chumash in my home. I have an extra sefer. And somebody wants to buy the sefer. So I give him the sefer and he's going to pay me the money after Shabbos. And he makes the kinyan on Shabbos. So what's so non-Shabbos dik about that? You can't say that that's a violation of Shabbosom. So that's only forbidden with the Rabbanon, Gzei Rashem Yichtov. We're afraid that the person will mark down, will write down the purchase that was made, because the fellow didn't pay yet. So the Ramban has a kasha on Tosfos. If Tosfos says that bitul chometz means hefker, and the Gemara speaks about people being mevatel chometz on Shabbos, let's say Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, and the fellow wants to be mevatel chometz on Shabbos, so the Gemara says it's perfectly all right. Take the Ramban, how can it be all right? But this Iser of Mekach Memkar, this Iser the Rabbanon of Mekach Memkar should apply to hefker as well. Ramban says it's forbidden to be mafki your property on Shabbos Yantam. Not only is it forbidden to sell to somebody else, it's forbidden to be mafki. So yes, how can Tosfos say that bitul chometz means hefker? If the Gemara says the first, that one can be mevat lechometz on Shabbos, and this should constitute a violation of the Yisra Rabbanon of Mekach HaMemka. Other Rishonim disagree with the premise of the Ramban. They say no, that Mekach HaMemka is only forbidden with the Rabbanon if you're giving over the ownership to somebody else. But if it's just being mafki your property, this is not a nisar even with the rabban. It's mutum and atar, it's mutum with the rabban. And there's nobody to write. What are you going to write down that someone's going to owe you money? The reason for the gzera doesn't apply, so that's why the Tosfos read In Gemara Shabbos, this agrees with the Ramban, and he thinks that that the whole Gzeira doesn't apply. And he brings a raya from the Gemara, because the Gemara says that even according to the opinion of Rab Lezer says he permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to prepare the knife for the bris milah. We pass from that Machshiri milah, not the Shabbos, only the actual milah itself, if it's a milah bizman. But the hachonis, the preparation of taking the knife and sharpening the knife, manufacturing the knife, that's not the Shabbos. Rab Lezer disagrees, and he says not only is the milah bizman the Shabbos, even the Machshiri milah, even the hachonis to the mitzvah milah are also the Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, Rav Lezer's opinion not only applies to Machshirei Milo, he applies to every mitzvah that you do on Shabbos. You can make the hachanis in advance also. You can make the hachanis on Shabbos as well. Let's say Minat Torah, you have to shake a lulav even when Sukkos falls out on Shabbos. Let's say the fellow forgot to rip his lulav off of the tree. He can rip off the lulav on Shabbos, on Yom Tov Shechol Yiz B'Shabbos. He can rip off the esrig. Let's say Pesach falls out on Shabbos, he can bake his matzahs on Shabbos in order to eat. That's Rav Lezer's opinion. We don't pass like Rav Lezer. We pass on that you're not permitted to bake the matzahs on Shabbos. Let's say Pesach falls on Shabbos. You're not permitted to bake the matzahs on Shabbos. Not permitted to do all this. Only the actual mitzvah itself you do, but you're not permitted to do the hachon if it'll involve chil Shabbos. But that's Rav Lezer's opinion. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Lezer, when a person is permitted, a fellow forgot to put a mezuzah on his door. So on Shabbos he's allowed to sit down and write a mezuzah and then nail it into the door. Or let's say the person has a talus. He forgot to put in tzitzis in the talus. He wants to wear his talus and shul on Shabbos. I mean to say, according to Rav Lezer, he's allowed to tie the knots in the talus. That's a malacha. To write the mezuzah is a malacha of kosei. And to tie the knots is a malacha of kosher. Would Rav Lezer allow the fellow to tie the knots in his tzitzis on Shabbos? And would Rav Lezer allow them to write a mezuzah on Shabbos? And Moshe says, no. To tie the knots in the tzitzis and to make a mezuzah, he wouldn't allow, because this is a mitzvah that he can undo the chiyuv of. How? He can be mafke the garment, and he won't be mechuyev in tzitzis. I can wear a four-corner garment without tzitzis, provided that it doesn't belong to me. But the Rabbanon, the din is that if I borrowed the garment from somebody else for more than 30 days, the talus she'ulo, if I borrow the talus from somebody else for more than 30 days, then I have to put tzitzis on it. Because people are going to wonder, what's the fellow wearing a four-corner garment with that talus? It's going to look funny. But min haTorah, there's no obligation at all to put on tzitzis on a garment or four corners unless it belongs to you. If it doesn't belong to you, you're not mechuyev. Or let's say, min haTorah, the mitzvah mezuzah is only if the apartment belongs to you. If it's a rented apartment, not even rented, you borrow an apartment from somebody else, so the chiyuv mezuzah is only mid rabbanon. So the Gemara says, even though Rav Lezer says that one is permitted to be mechal Shabbos to bake the matzahs and to prepare the lulav and the esrog and so on, but one is not permitted to be mechal Shabbos to write the mezuzah to tie the tzitzis, because these mitzvahs one could undo by being mafke his talis on Shabbos, by being mafke the apartment. So min haTorah there will be no obligation to put on the mezuzah at all, and there will be no obligation to put on the tzitzis at all. So the Tosfos Rid comments on that Gemara. What do you mean? Hoil viboy mafke la nichse. If he's mafke his home or he's mafke his tzitzis, he's not mechuyev. But on Shabbos it's forbidden mitam bekechem memkar. Shouldn't one be forbidden to be mafke on Shabbos, just like one is not permitted to make kinyonim on Shabbos? So the Tosfos Rid says, from the Loshon HaGemara and Rav Lezer de Milo, it would appear that it's completely heter gomer to be mafker on Shabbos. That hefker is not included in the gzera de Rabbanon of Merkech Memka. That's how Rabbi Kivega points out on Shulchan Aruch, that this is a dispute between the Ramban and Psochem and the Tosfos Rid in Shabbos. The Ramban's opinion is that hefker is not allowed on Shabbos, that being mafker, something declaring as ownerless, is included in the gzera de Rabbanon of Merkech Memka. And the Tosfos Rid in Masech HaShabbos disagrees and thinks that it's heter gomer. So Ramban is bothered with this kasha on Tosis, Rekta Kasha. Tosis says that Bitul Chometz means that you mafke the chometz, and since it doesn't belong to you, so you're not violating Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzei. So Rekta Ramban Akasha, how can you be mafke the chometz on Shabbos? The Gemara talks about being mafke, about being mevatel chometz on Shabbos. Isn't that a violation of Mekka Chomem? That's his time. One could say that Tosis holds like the Tosis Rit, that it's mutal hafke b'shabbos. Or the Miri has a famous answer. Miri in his Sefer Mogen Avos, we once discussed before Purim, we discussed part of the Mogen Avos. Mogen Avos discusses the conflicts in the Minhagim between the Talmidim of the Ramban, who used to live in Spain, and after the Ramban passed away, they moved to the Provence. So in Provence, they had a different set of Minhagim. They followed different shittas. So there were conflicts sometimes between the way they were used to observing the mitzvahs where they came from in Spain, and the way they were observing the mitzvahs there where they came to, in Provence. So one of the chilufim in Hagim was this issue. Exactly what do you mean by bitul chometz? What are you supposed to have in mind? What nusach do you say when you mevatel chometz? According to Tosfos, he say Kol Hamira Adika Bishusi Levi Hefker. I hereby am mafka my property, mafka my chometz. According to Rashi, you don't say Levi Hefker. According to Rashi, you make a declaration: any chometz that I have, I completely do not care for. I don't plan to eat it. I don't plan to have hanor from it. I don't plan to sell it. I don't care if anybody takes it. But I'm not mafker it. According to Rashi, if you mafker the chometz, then you're not yetzer the mitzvah of tashbisa. That's a way to avoid violating ba'yura ba'yimatzir. Like if you sell a chometz to a goy, that's a gimmick. That's a harame. That's a legal loophole in order to avoid the violation of ba'yura ba'yimatzir. But it's not a kiyum mitzvah. But Rashi says if you declare regarding your chometz that you don't plan to eat it, to be nana from it, you don't care what happens to it, I consider it ka'afra di'alma. This is a kima mitzvah of tashbisa.
When you say ka'afra di'alma, isn't like a
mafkir? No.
When you say mafkir, you're not mafkir to anyone specifically, you're just throwing it to the world.
No. You see, when we do both, the poskim say, we do both.
In other words, the bittul, when you explain bittul, it has the elements of a hefker.
No, according to Rashi, you're not mafkir. If you mafkir the chometz, then you're not fulfilling the mitzvah.
I know, but when you say, I don't care for it, it's not mine, I don't want to do it, what is a person who says he's mafkir? What is, when you mafkir something, what do you do?
He says that it doesn't belong to him, but now if he wants,
but now if he wants,
he can go take it back. But the chometz, he says, he doesn't plan to use it for the duration of Pesach. He doesn't plan to be nana from it, to eat it. He couldn't care less what happens to the chometz. He doesn't care if anybody comes and takes it. An animal can take it. Enough we can take
it.
No. He says it's still mine. It's still mine, but I don't care what happens to it. If he's mafkirit, then according to Rashi, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. He only fulfills the mitzvah if it's still his. And he says, I don't care what happens to it. So he's declaring it as non-food. It should still belong to him, and he considers it that it's not food. That's considered a form of destroying the chometz, according to Rashi. And the poskim say in Shulchan Aruch that we fulfill both the opinion of Rashi and the opinion of Tosfos, but you have to say like this. You have to say, any chometz that I have in my property, I say, libotel, velevi ka'afro diyaro, I declare it as botel, I don't care what happens to it. And then you should add on, velevi hefker. You should say later on, our nusach is not so good. We say nusach, libotel, velevi hefker ka'afro diyaro. That's not the nusach the way it says in the Rishon. You say, libotel ka'afro diyaro, I declare it as offer. I don't plan to use it during the duration of Pesach, in order to fulfill Rashi's opinion that is the kima mitzvah of tashbisu. Before this mani sura, after this mani sura, so you can't be mevatled anymore. So then Rashi would also agree the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu is by destroying it. But before this mani sura, before 10:30 in the morning on Erev Pesach, so Rashi says the way to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu is by declaring that you mevatled chometz. So you say libatel kiafra diara. And then, according to Tosfos, you haven't done anything. There is no such mitzvah to declare that you're not going to use it during Pesach. Then you have to be mafka your chometz. So after you make your declaration of bitul, then you say, velevi hefker, and I also declare it as hefker, to satisfy the opinion of Tosfos. If you do it in the reverse, at first you mafka your chometz, then according to Tosfos, you're safe. But according to Rashi, if the chometz doesn't belong to you anymore, so you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. So you're not fulfilling, if it's not yours, so then you can't fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisa with it. So according to Rashi, by being mafkir the chometz first, you've lost your possibility to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisa. Unless you're only mafkir part of the chometz, and then the rest of the chometz is still going to have. So that's okay. So you can then you can fulfill your mitzvah of tashbisa on the remaining chometz that you have later.
I wonder if you could define precisely what the
beetle
is in terms of tashbisa.
According to Rashi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't defined it at all. The Ramban, not only not precise, I haven't defined it at all. The Ramban insists that Rashi is correct. The Ramban asks a list of kashas against Tosfos. One of them was this kasha, as well as many others. The kasha that we mentioned, how can one, Ramban Amsochem on that pay, how can you say like Tosfos that bitul chometz means that you're mafkir the chometz, mekach memkar is forbidden on Shabbos, and being mafkir property is also a form of mekach memkar, so that should be forbidden on Shabbos. And the Gemara speaks about being mevatel chometz on Shabbos. Shouldn't it be awesome with the Rabbanim mitam mekach memkar? This is one of the several kashas of the Ramban. So this leads the Ramban to agree with Rashi that bitul chometz doesn't mean hefker. It means akim mitzvah tashbisu. How are you mekayim the mitzvah by saying you don't plan to use it for the duration of Pesach? So the Ramban says that the violation of bayirah bayimotzei is if you possess chometz or if the chometz belongs to a goy and you are mekabel achrayis on the chometz. So the Gemara says it's also forbidden. Let's say I'm I sell insurance. So let's say there's a Goyish bakery. And the Goyish Bakery wants insurance from theft insurance. And he comes to me, I'm Chalamoid Pesach. And I'll say, okay, I'll give you an insurance policy. So after I'm a Kabbalah Achrayus on his Chametz, I promise him and I make a legal contract with him. And in case his Chametz is stolen, in case his, give him fire insurance, let's say. And not only a Chalamoid Pesach, I give him fire insurance now. I give fire insurance on a bakery. Then in case that bakery burns down, I have to pay him. So then, even though the chametz doesn't belong to me, but I was mekabel achrayus for that chametz. So the Gemara seems to say that I would violate by yiroah by imatz. How can I violate by yiroah by imatz if the chametz is not mine? The Ramban answers that the violation of by yiroah by imatz, it doesn't really depend so much on who is the owner of the chametz, on ownership, actual ownership according to the Chayesh Mish, but it depends on the one who is wrote to the kiyumo, the one who's in whose interest it is that the chametz should be in existence. Normally speaking, it's in the interest of the owner of the chametz that his property should be in existence. So the owner of any chametz would violate by Rabbi Matzeh. But whoever else was mekabel achrayis on this chametz, whoever is giving the fire insurance or the theft insurance on this chametz, is also interested that this chametz shouldn't disappear. He's going to have to pay the money from his pocket. So he's also right to the kiyumas. Even though the chametz doesn't belong to the insurance agent, but to the one who's giving the insurance, he too violates by Rabbi Matzeh.
So the whole thing is, whether
we
take
our
prayers or not,
it is very significant. Right, yeah. Right, that's this Gemara. Right, that's the Gemara. So now the Ramban says, since the key to violating by Rabbi by Matzah doesn't really depend so much on the actual ownership of the Chametz. Rather, ownership is one form of Roitz of the Kiyumai, but you can violate by Yeroi without really owning the Chametz if you are Roitz of the Kiyumai, because you are Mekabel Achrayus. You are insuring that Chametz. So then you also violate by Yeroi by Matzah. So the Ramban says, Memela, how does one avoid violating by Yiroah by Matzeh? By destroying the Chametz. Okay. And second best way, if you don't want to destroy the Chametz, by Tashbisu, by declaring that I'm not right to the Kiyumah. So let's say I have my cookies on the table. I'm very interested in my cookies. I'm right to the Kiyumah. I enjoy eating my Chametz Dikah cookies. Then comes Erev Pesach in the morning and I say, I don't plan to eat these cookies for Pesach. I'm not going to eat them. I'm not going to sell them. I don't care if a behemoth comes and eats it. I don't care if a goy comes and takes it away. The chometz is mamish mine according to the Choshim Mishpat, but I made a right to the Kiyumah. I made a statement, I made a declaration that I don't care what happens to the chometz. As far as I'm concerned, this chometz that I still possess is ka'afra diyara. Not that I'm mafker it like the dust of the earth in China. It's my dust of my earth, it belongs to me. But I don't care what happens to this dust. I don't care what happens to these cookies on the table. Even though they still belong to me, I don't care. So the Ramban says, since I'm making a declaration that I am ein aroitz to be kiyumai, that's the mitzvah of Tashbisu. I haven't destroyed it, but since I'm ein aroitz to be kiyumai, so that's the way to avoid violating by Yiroah by Matzah. That's the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Either by actually destroying it, so it's not there, so obviously he's ein aroitz to be kiyumai. Or to leave it. What do you have to destroy the poor cookies for? Leave the cookies there. Let a behema, let a nachri get hanor from it. Just make a declaration that you're ein aroitz to be kiyumai. That's how the Ramban interprets the Rashi. Why should declaring that you don't plan to use it for the duration of Pesach, why should that be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu? So he says, because Tashbisu is for the sake of avoiding by Yiroah by Matzeh. So normally Tashbisu means you destroy your chametz, or you don't have to destroy it. You can leave it in its original state, leave it as chametz, and just declare that you don't care about it. You are ready to write to the human. This will avoid the violation of by Yiroah. If he eats it, then he demonstrates that he just backed out from his intentions of not using
it. It's something that you're so habitual to. So he's counteracting the whole Xena of
the Gemara says you shouldn't rely on Beetle. The Gemara says Midirabana, we don't rely on Beetle, we require Bedika and Biur, right? You have to get rid of all the chametz, right? A lot of the women throw out, they have hametashin and all kinds of chametz in the freezer, sitting there from half a year, so they wait till Erev Pesach, and then they throw it out in a garbage can, and then the chametz is still in their garbage can when it comes to Zman Issa. So that's not proper. They're declaring that they're mevatel chametz. They threw it in the garbage can. They don't even have to, it doesn't matter whether they're mafker it or not, but they declare they don't care what happens to it. But that's what Midirabbanan is not allowed. If they want to get rid of their chametz and throw it in the garbage, they should throw it earlier. So it's already picked up before Erev Pesach. They should wait till Erev Pesach and have it in their rishus, and then rely on Bittel. Either rely on Hefker, or rely on the statement that he's ain't a right to be
Kiyumah. How do we sell our chametz instead of our rishus? It's not ours. It's not ours at all.
We have
enough right, or
No, we're not responsible for the goy. If we would be responsible for the chametz that would be stolen or misplaced, then the selling to the goy wouldn't help.
Sure.
We tell the goy we're selling him the chametz and we're not accepting responsibility if it disappears. We're not going to steal it. We tell the goy we're not going to steal the chametz. But if anybody else steals it, he shouldn't hold us responsible for it. And if it's stolen, the goy still has to pay us the money. Even if the chametz disappears during the duration of Pesach, the goy is responsible for the chametz, not us. If we're mekabel achrayis, take the chametz.
Somebody steals my schnapps that I sold to the goy, so I don't have to pay the goy.
Not at all.
No.
The goy has to pay us. Legally speaking, the goy has to pay us. If you want to, you can be meichel the goy, but legally speaking, the goy has to pay us.
I wonder if, according to the Ramban, maybe this answer could be a mitzvah of our people. It's all right if they rebut them whether they have kirka for the arrow. Because even though you're being maskirit, you're still basically rota the kiyumo because, you know, you're maskirit, but you'll do that after Pesach. But if the lashon of people means any rota the kiyumo, then you can really have your cake and eat it practically. You can be maskirit and still be able to be mavakol. In other words, they're not necessarily tired to the sastre.
In the sense that
when you're mafkirit, they say, you know, anybody come and get it who wants it. But you're really not renouncing care or concern over it. You're just saying it's free for everybody.
After you do.
I would assume that if you're mafkirit, then Rashi and the Rambam would say you're not fulfilling any mitzvah of Tashbisa once it's not yours anymore. So you've done a harama, you have avoided Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, but you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisa.
Right.
Like the Mechiras Chametz, when we sell to the goy. We don't fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisa by selling to a goy.
You just said there could be a case where it's not yours, but nevertheless where you're rota the kiyumah.
Right.
I'm wondering whether, you're mafkirit, but you still could be rota the kiyumah. Mafkirit on one level. Your
road to
the kiyumah, because after Pesach you're
going to
come and use whatever you found.
All right. I don't know. The Ramban assumes that if you're his kima daito, if I declare I'm not going to use it on Pesach, that's enough. If I'm in a road to the kiyumah for the duration of Yontif, that's enough. Even though I'm still road to the kiyumah for after Yontif, but for the immediate future for Pesach, I don't care.
Is there a conditional attached to the occasion that was just mentioned? By the comments, he keeps it in his property on the Latin key. So consequently, although he says that everybody or anybody can come and eat it, in fact, the case is that no one can intrude into his house.
Then
he has to put it in the Rishus HaRabim, let's say. And only then can he fulfill that condition.
Yeah, if he locks his home and he doesn't let people come in, then
right.
Then his bitul is not valid, then it's not true.
So consequently, another element is attached to it, whereby he has to leave it
there. Right. I started to say the Ramban has several kashas against Tosfos. How can Tosfos say that bitul chametz means hefka? One of his several kashas is that how does the Gemara say one can be mevatel chametz on Shabbos? Isn't Hefker a violation of Mekach HaMemka? So the Tosfos reading Masechah Shabbos disagrees and says, no, the premise is not true, that it's permissible even with the Rabbanah to be Mafker on Shabbos. The Morgan Ovos speaks about this dispute also, what is the meaning of Bitul Chametz? But the Bitul Chametz means Hefker, Bitul Chametz means a declaration that is ain't a to be Kuma like Rashi and Ramban. And he proceeds to answer the Kasha against Tosfos. He says there are two kinds of Hefker Zokta. There's one kind of Hefker where the person... The question was raised before, how is Hefker an act of Mekach HaMemka? Mekach HaMemka means when I sell to somebody else. But if I'm mafkirit, I'm not being makna to somebody else. So the Miri writes in the Sefer Moganov, there are two kinds of Hefker. Normally Hefker is that let's say I have something and then I leave it over here. I'm mafkirit, whoever wants will pick it up. And then the stomach, someone's going to pick it up. So that's a Hefker where I'm interested in transmitting the ownership to somebody other than myself. So that's a form, that kind of Hefker where I'm mafkirit in order that someone else should be zeche in it. That form of hefker would truly be a violation of mekach hamemka, because I'm being mafkered for the purpose of having someone else get it. But when I'm mafkered my chametz before Pesach, so no other Jew, no religious Jew is going to be kind of the chametz. So what I'm interested that a nochri should pick up the chametz, I'm not really so interested in the chametz. I just want to be mafkir the chametz to be misalik my bialis from the chametz. Not that I'm interested in transmitting the ownership to someone else. I just want to be potter from bal yirah by motzei. So the Miri claims that whenever the intention of the hefker is just a hefker of siluk, not a hefker with the, he's not motivated by his hefker was not motivated with the intention of having someone else gain ownership. Just that he should not have the ownership on the chametz. This would not be a violation of Mekach Mem. That's the Miri's test. This is the first preparation of Pidin for Pesach. The Halacha says is the Bedikas Chametz on Leil Pesach. The Bedikin and the Bittel. The Gemara says, HaBorik Tzor Sheivatel. Right after you make the Bedikas Chametz, you have to make a Bittel. Bittel should be said in a language that people understand. So in the days of the Gemara, they all understood Aramaic. They didn't all understand Hebrew. They all understood Aramaic. That's why the Nusach was composed called Chamir V'Chamir. Dikah B'Shus, he's saying Aramaic that everybody should understand. Today, if the people don't understand Aramaic or they don't understand Hebrew, they should say in English. You have to say it in English. And you should say the both versions. You should say the first the Rashi and then the Tesis. First say like Rashi, I don't plan to use it. I don't plan to eat it, to use it. I don't care what happens to it. And then you say, and I also declare that it should be ownerless. I don't want to possess it. First to satisfy the opinion of Rashi, and then to satisfy the opinion of Tesis. If you do it in the reverse order, first be mafkir it. So then it's no longer yours. Then according to Rashi and the Ramban, you won't be fulfilling the mitzvah. And the Rambam and the Targum Unklos, you won't be fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbis. So you have to dafke do it in that order.
He just explained to us that you cannot own it, but still have an interest in it.
Yeah.
So then why can't you have it the other way around? If you make
the Gemara says if you're mekabel achrayis on it, if you are achroy on it, then you will violate by your rabbi matzah. By the chometz al hefker, there's no way that you can violate by your rabbi matzah.
If you do it that way, first of all, are you going to Rashi if you do one and then the other? Rashi,
yeah.
Right?
I've already fulfilled my mitzvah of Tashbisu.
But
they seem to have a discretion that certain mitzvahs, the Rabbah, the Rivo, the Dayah, they don't really explain, at least I haven't seen them explain, you know, in detail what you mentioned, that, you know, take one or the other. So what do they mean? Right. No, that's the Gemara, we says Mavatla Belibo, the Dayah, he can be Mavatla it, and that's sufficient. Yeah. So the Gemara has this phrase, and Rashi and Tosfos have this dispute, what does that mean? So what do they mean in the Shofarah when they quote it? They mean to take one? You do both, you know, you do Rashi and then Tosfos. Right, that's the nusach that we use all the time. First Rashi's nusach, and then we follow up with Tosfos nusach. And you have to have in mind both Rashi's pshat and Tosfos pshat.
Aren't we really
Right. And there's no such thing as declaring that you don't plan to use it, that doesn't help. And being mafke, the chometz is the only way to avoid bali rabbi matzah, but you're not fulfilling any mitzvah. So what's going to be with the mitzvah of tashbisu? So the mitzvah is fulfilled by burning the remaining chometz later on. Right. It's interesting, the Rambam writes that after you do your bedikas chometz, if you want, you can burn the chometz that night. You don't have to wait till the morning of the next day. You can burn it that night. The only thing is that people want to eat some chometz. So what will they accomplish by burning the chometz tonight? The mitzvah is to burn the last bit of chometz that you have. If you're going to burn chometz tonight, then you're going to have your Cheerios or your Rice Krispies tomorrow morning. So if later there's more chometz, you have to burn the chometz after you finish. Let's say the Mishnah says, it's from mitchila sheish. You burn the chometz 10, 10:30, 11 in the morning. And what if the person goes to the 6 o'clock minyan, he wants to burn his chometz at 7, he wants to run to the office? So the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, you can burn the chometz at night also. You can burn at 7 in the morning. But that's only provided that your wife and your children are not getting chometz for breakfast. If you're burning a little bit of chometz and they have a ton of chometz at home, so how do you fulfill a mitzvah? The idea is to burn the last bit of chometz that you have. So the way we have the practice today, we all leave over a lot of chametz in our home. We all leave over schnapps and all kinds of chametz things in the home. And we appoint the Rav as our shliach to sell our chametz for us. If we would sell our chametz to the rabbi, and that chametz we don't possess anymore, so then we can burn the chametz at 7 in the morning, and we're burning the last bit of chametz that we have. But we don't sell our chametz to the rabbi. We sign a shtar harsho. We appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell the chametz for us. So the chametz is still out. So then what do? We burn the chametz at 7 o'clock in the morning, but we still have a load of chametz left in the house. So you have to wait till after everybody eats breakfast. But you still have all the chametz in the house. What's with all the schnapps in the house? What are you accomplishing by burning the chametz? I have a ton of chametz and I burn 2 ounces. What good is that? I have to wait till the rabbi sells the chametz, And after the rabbi sold the chametz, which is 99% of the chametz that I have, then I burn the remaining chametz that I have. So then I'm burning the last bit of chametz that I have. The problem is that most people don't do that because the rabbonim don't sell the chametz till 10 o'clock in the morning. They wait till after this man achila is up. You can eat chametz approximately till 9:15 this year or so, till about 9:15 in the morning. Something like that. And then the rabbonim have another hour and another hour and 15 minutes to sell the chametz. So they wait till later, wait till 10. So then you shouldn't really burn your chametz till after 10 o'clock. That's the problem. Most people are busy on their Pesach. They don't wait till after the rabbonim have sold the chametz to burn their last bit of chametz. How are they fulfilling the mitzvah? Oh, okay, that's good. So the rabbi should sell. That's the best thing to do. The rabbi should sell everybody's chametz first, and then take the remaining chametz after he sold the 99.9% of the chametz, and then everybody has a little chametz left. So he burns everybody's chametz afterwards. So he's burned the last bit of chametz that's left. We've already sold the liquor to the goy, and all we have left, every balabos has a kazayas of chametz left. So then we make a big fire. We burn the last bit of chametz. So all the Jews will make the mitzvah of tashbih. But if they burn the 1% first, and then they have 99% of the chametz, they have tons of chametz in the house, and then they sell it. But they didn't get rid of it, they sold it. You can pour it down the drain also, but we don't pour it down the drain, we sell it to Anachri. No, the rabbis can't do it earlier because the people want to eat breakfast. So they can't sell the chametz to the goy till after the Zman Yisrachila is though. And then Baal HaBatim always comes the last minute to the rabbi. The rabbi has to sell the chametz. And they come after the last minute. They come on the first day, Chol Moed, and the last day, Pesach. The Baal HaBatim always come late. The rabbi can't sell the chametz till the last minute. He has to wait till the end. So the more correct... The last minute to sell the chametz? 10:35 or something. But Yom HaRishon means Erev Pesach. The Gemara says, "Bayam Arish means Erev Yantar." The Gemara says, "Ben Aterev from 12 o'clock." Right. You have to sell it to the goy.
Yeah.
After you've sold it to the goy, then you can burn whatever chametz is remaining. Yeah. Okay. Right. Right, Rav Soloveitchik is makter like that. He recommends that real chametz should not be sold to the goy. Real chametz means something that has more than 50% of contents is grain. So let's say cake, cookies, and that stuff. Most of the cakes have some of them have less than 50%. Some of them have so much sugar and shorting that's less than 50%. And schnapps, the Shulchan Aruch says, usually when they ask Rav Soloveitchik, what about schnapps? He says, besser nicht zu fragen. This isn't this. Because in the Shulchan Aruch it says that schnapps and beer is not considered taruvus chametz, it's rather considered chametz diyet. No, but there are other opinions. That's why with respect to selling the chametz, we rely on those opinions. And schnapps and beer is not really chametz diyet. No. Other poskim are mekel. That's a shaila. Whether you're permitted to sell real chametz, whether they have real cookies, real chametz, are you permitted to sell? I don't know. So the Nesivus writes in his tshuva that you may, and he says that his psak was accepted all over Poland. He argues with the Bichotcha Rav, and tshuva he disagrees with him. He says my psak was accepted all over. You do whatever you want. Everybody holds like me. So Shaila, whether in Rav Soloveitchik holds like the Bichotcherov, like the others, that it's not proper to sell chametz b'yin. You should only rely on the chivas chametz as far as taruvas chametz. No, the poskim point out like Gemara and Shabbos that one is not permitted to use a legal fiction with respect to a din d'oraisa. So mechiras chametz is a legal fiction in order to avoid bal yirah bal yimatzeh. So bal yirah bal yimatzeh is a din d'oraisa. It's a biblical din. So with respect to real chametz b'yen that has real cake or cookies or bread or macaroni or something like that, a chametz dike matzah, not pesach dike matzah. So it's not proper to rely, some pasuk holds, it's not proper to rely on mechiras chametz, that's a harame with respect to a din d'orais. With respect to taruvas chametz, where you have less than half of it, the rove is not chametz. The rove is not grain. And the miut is chametz, the miut of the ingredients is grain. So there the Rabbi Natan's opinion is in Psochem, the beginning of Elu over in the third parak of Psochem, that the Bali Rov Bali Motz is only with the Rabbanim. So even though the other Rishonim disagree with the Rabbi Natan, and they think that Bali Rov Bali Motz and Taruvus Chametz is also an Issa Deraisa, but with respect to this din, that you're not permitted to do a Harameh In a case of a deraisa, we can rely on the rabbin and tam to declare it as a bal yiroi derabanan that we should be allowed to do haram.
It isn't a full
that kasha is asked by the poskim. Yes, then. How did the poskim on the choshim mishpat ask that? How are you allowed to make a pruz? How did Hillel make a takon of a pruz bull? Isn't that a haram on a din deraisa? Right, it's also a good kasha, right? The Gemara recommends even you can avoid riyasnabas, right? The Rashba talks about that kasha a little bit, the Rashba and Brochus, right? These are all kashas that are discussed by the posts. They have ashtikul mahala. No, the Shulchan Aruch says that there's no violation of Bayira by Motze on Chomes Dik edition. There's no Bayira on Blias Kalim. You keep it, that's all. Fakir. Most of the persons say you should not sell it to the guy. If you sell it to the guy, then you may require three last kalim when you buy it back from the guy. It's better not to sell it to the guy. No, most rabbonim will not sell the kalim to the guy.
Why aren't they?
It's not in the state of food. And Leah's kalim, there's no violation about your
buying.
You
got something stuck on the kalim. You sell the
schmutz
on the
flea,
but
not the schmutz. No, that schmutz is not by your own, that schmutz. That's not considered.
No, I mean, for example, there are lots of kalim that they use. Fancy cooks use these pots, and the whole reason that the cast iron pots, for example, the whole reason it's not worth anything is because they're boleya.
The boleya. They have a blea, but the blea's kalim, there's no violation of by your own. Only on what's bien. So the tiny particle of chum is at bien on the pot, is bought the log of the pot. There's no bayura on that. On the night of Bedikas Chomek, there is a machlekes, the Balamor and the Rambanim Sochem regarding eating matzah. The Gemara has a din, well, it's forbidden to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Many people have a minhag not to eat matzah from Purim, others have a minhag not to eat matzah from Shchodesh Nisan. But the Gemara says the Mikra din, din the Rabbanon, one is just not permitted to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So when do we consider it Erev Pesach? From the night of Erev Pesach or from the morning of Erev Pesach? So this is a machlokes between the Baal Hamor and the Ramban. The Baal Hamor says that it's only considered matzah in contrast to chametz. Matzah is only considered matzah in contrast to chametz. If you have flour mixed with water, if you had it sitting there for a long time and it rises and it turns into regular dough, then it's chametz. And if it didn't rise, it didn't turn into a regular dough and it's thin and tastes like matzah, then it's called matzah. So when do you have a shem matzah? When you have a shem chometz. So matzah today, or matzah anytime, not on Pesach, is not called matzah at all. You can charge for a matzah ticket price, but it's not called matzah. Not yet any concept of matzah by contrast, so one is permitted to eat matzah. And the Ramban and the Mohammed disagrees with the Baal Hamor and says no, that since with the Rabbana they required bedikas chametz, true they didn't forbid the chametz b'achila b'hanoah, but they said you have to start searching for the chametz. So if you're looking for the chametz, so with the Rabbana there's a shem chametz with respect to bedika. So since with the Rabbana there's a shem chametz, so you can have a shem matzah already. In contrast to the chametz, you can have a shem matzah. So once you have a shem chametz, you have a shem matzah. So the Chachamim forbid us from eating the matzah that has a shem matzah until the Seder when we recite the bracha al achilas matzah. Right. With respect to karbonis, it's called matzah. The Gemara has a shaila whether matzah for karbonis has the same criteria as matzah with respect to Pesach. May not necessarily be the same. The Gemara has a shaila regarding chametz nukshen. Are the dinim, the Gemara Menachos has a shaila. Are the dinim identical or not? If they're not the same, then it's a teretz. If they are the same, then it's a good cash.
Does this apply to the matzah that they sell, that they write, this is not kosher or Pesach? All these matzahs you buy?
No, that's chametz. That's not matzah. Yeah. That's not matzah. Rav Soloveitchik has an interesting interpretation based on this Ramban. It's an ingenious pshat, but it's not what the Rishonim said. The Rishonim have a whole different explanation. Rashi's opinion is that one only fulfills the mitzvah of matzah to the Seder if the matzahs were baked on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. That's what the Hasidim call matzahs mitzvah. But if the matzahs were baked sometime in advance, like all the matzahs that most Jews in the world eat, most people don't eat matzahs mitzvah, Hasidim they're matzah. Most people don't eat Erev Pesach to get matzahs. So according to Rashi's opinion, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. How in the world does Rashi get this? So Rashi is quoted by the Rishonim as saying that the Gemara in the end of Psachim speaks of a hekesh, an equation and a comparison between the Korban Pesach and the Matzah. The Gemara says one can only eat the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdosh, in the days of the Beis HaMikdosh, before Chatzos HaLayla, before midnight. You're not supposed to eat Korban Pesach after midnight. Why? So the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, whether this is a din min haTorah or a din min haRabban. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that this is a din min haTorah, because the pasuk says V'yachlos habasa b'alayla hazeh tzliyesh, v'matzah salmorim yachlu. It says you have to eat the Korban Pesach b'alayla hazeh. When is b'alayla hazeh? The other pasuk tells us V'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'alayla hazeh v'kesikol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that he's going to make makas b'choris b'alayla hazeh. When was that? That was at Chatzos. So too, V'yachlos habasa b'alayla hazeh, you have to eat the Korban Pesach b'alayla hazeh means you have to eat it by Chatzos. You have to be finished eating by Chatzos. So Blaz ben Azari's opinion is that the din of Chatzos by Korban Pesach is a din min haTorah, that you're not yotz in the mitzvah midaraisa if you eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees and says no, that min haTorah you can eat the matzah, you can eat the Korban Pesach all night long. But kedei laharchik kesa'od the min ha'aveira, if the person can eat the Korban Pesach all night long, so he may forget and continue to eat his Korban Pesach into the morning hours, at which time it already becomes nosar. If he leaves over the Korban Pesach till the morning, till after Alos HaShachar, and Alos HaShachar is more than an hour, it's an hour and 20 minutes or so before sunrise. It's pretty dark outside at Alos HaShachar, so he won't necessarily be after he's already had two kaisis. The first beginning, the beginning of the Haggadah, he already had two kaisis of the Yarmulke. He may not realize that it's already Alos HaShachar. He may eat his Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar, in which case he'll be Chayv Koris. It's an Issur Koris if you eat Nosar. Nosar means a Korban that is left over after the Zman is over. So for the purpose of Kedei L'Harchik Kesod, the Min HaVeira, to protect Bnei Yisrael from violating Yisurim Chamurim, like eating Nosar, which carries with it an Issur Koris, the Chachamim require that everybody should finish eating the Korban Pesach before Chatzos. So Din Medir Rabbanan. So the Gemara says in the end of Psachim, what's the difference whether it's a Dimin HaTera, Dimin HaRabbanan? Halach HaMaisa, you have to eat the Korban Pesach before midnight and you're not allowed to eat after midnight. Min HaTera, Min HaRabbanan, what's the difference? The Gemara says, oh, Schaptan Afkimina, what about Matzah? What about Bizman HaZeh? If you're going to forget and eat the Matzah after midnight, so there's not going to be any Koris. The worst you can say is that we will not fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. So if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that the Din of Chatzos is a Din Min HaTorah, that you must eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos. So the Gemara says there's a hekesh between matzah and Korban Pesach. The same pasuk has V'yachlos habasa b'alayla hazeh tzliyesh, but matzos ha'morarim yachlu. It's all in the same pasuk together. That's called a hekesh. So we equate and compare the two dinim, and we say that just like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah requires that the Korban Pesach should be eaten before Chatzos, so to the matzah and the mar must also be finished before Chatzos the din min haTorah. So that would apply b'zman hazeh that you have to finish the whole Haggadah. You have to finish the Afikoman, I finished the Arba Kaisis, I finished the Halal, different opinions, before the before Chatzos, before midnight. Whereas if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that the din of Chatzos is only Agzera de Rabbanon, so then it's only Agzera de Rabbanon by the Korban Pesach, because we're afraid that the person will get to violate an Issur Koris. By eating the Korban Pesach after Amud HaShachar, after Alois HaShachar, he'll be Chayv Koris reading Nois. But for the Matzah and the Morer, for the Haggadah, the Halal, no? So he won't fulfill the mitzvah. So you have to make Agzera de Rabbanan. He has to finish the Afikoman before Chatzos, lest he'll forget, and he'll eat it after Chatzos. So he'll eat it after Chatzos, so he won't do the mitzvah. So what? So lest he'll eat it after Amud HaShach. So you're not geyser. If it's only a mitzvah, you're only afraid the person will not fulfill a mitzvah, so you don't make any gzeres. But if you're afraid the person will violate an Avera de Raisa, then you do make gzeres. That's how the Prima Gorim comments on that Gemara. The Gemara says the authority of the Chachamim, the authorization of the Chachamim to introduce gzeres, is based on the pasuk "Gushmartem es mishmarti, asum mishmeres lemishmarti," and Parshas Achrim Mois. And the Gemara has a comment that whenever it says in the Chumash "Shomer pen or al," this is the same as writing "loy." Just like it says "loy sirtzach, loy sinof, loy signo," that's an aveira. Whenever it says "loy," it means that you're not allowed to do it. There are mitzvahs says it. There are mitzvahs loy says. So whenever it says "loy," that means that that's a loy says. Similarly, if it says Hisham Alecha, or it says Pen, or it says Al, that's the same as if it would have written Loi. So whenever it says Hisham Pen V'Al, it's a Loi Seser, like if it would have said Loi. So here the Pasuk says, Ushmartem es Mishmarti, Asum Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. The word Hishomer, the word Shmira, means a Loi Seser. So the people got him says, from the Loshen Hadrasha, you can tell that the Chachamim are only authorized to institute a gzera derabbanan if they're afraid that people will violate an avera. But if they're afraid that people will neglect the kiyum mitzvah, then they don't make any gzeras. So by Korban Pesach, Kriyat Shema is a kash. He discusses why they make a gzera that you have to say Kriyat Shema before Chatzos. What were they afraid of? So he won't fulfill a mitzvah. So he talks about that, why that may be different. But normally speaking, he has gemaras to demonstrate this. Normally speaking, if you're afraid that the person will eat the Korban Pesach after Amud HaShachar, which will be a violation of Achilas Noisar, so then the Chachamim are authorized to make a gzera at the Rabbanan, you must eat the Korban Pesach before Chatzos, lest you'll violate the Issa Noisar. But they wouldn't have any right to make a gzera at the Rabbanan that you must eat the matzah before Chatzos, lest you'll forget and eat it after Amud HaShachar. So you'll eat it after Amud HaShachar, so you won't fulfill a mitzvah. You can't make a gzera over there. That's a gzera to see to it that people do a mitzvah. You're not allowed to do that. You can only make a gzera if you're afraid that people will violate an aver. So that's what the Gemara says in the end of Pesach. But if the din of Chatzos is a din deraisa by Korban Pesach, then it applies to matzah and morah as well. You have to finish everything by Chatzos, by midnight. If the din of Chatzos is only made the Rabbanan by Korban Pesach, then it only applies to Korban Pesach where they were afraid that the fellow is going to violate an aver of eating noisa. But it wouldn't apply. The story of Chatzos, the gzera de rabbanan wouldn't apply to matzah and maror or to afikayim or to halal or to abikosis. It wouldn't apply. So the Rashi is quoted as saying that just as the Gemara speaks of the hekesh between matzah and pesach regarding chatzos, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azari's opinion that you have to finish the korban pesach min haTorah by chatzos, similarly must finish the matzah by chatzos. So Rashi says the same is true regarding the preparation of the matzah as the preparation of the Korban Pesach. You have to shech the Korban Pesach erev Pesach after Chatzos. If you shech the Korban Pesach before Chatzos, the Gemara says it's pasul. This is not midnight, this is the middle of the day. Yeah. You have to shech the Korban Pesach on erev Pesach in the afternoon, after noon, after 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So Rashi says the same hekish that the Gemara uses with respect to the Achilas Matzah being equated to the Achilas Korban Pesach applies to the Hachonas HaMatzah, to the preparation, that just like the preparation of the Korban Pesach is the Shechitas HaPesach must take place dafke Erev Pesach after Chatzos, similarly the preparation of the Matzah, the Hainu the Afiyah, must take place Erev Pesach after Chatzos, and if you baked it before Chatzos, you're not Yetzir the Mitzvah. That's Rashi's Losh. So the Achreinim are bothered with Kasha. The Rishonim already asked the Kasha, so what's going to be when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? When a Pesach falls out on Shabbos, the din is at the Korban Pesach Yishech on Shabbos. That's what Hillel told the Bnei B'Seira. The Shechitas HaPesach is Deicha Shabbos. You mean to say, anybody in his right mind is going to say that you're allowed to bake the chassidim, you're going to bake the matzahs, they're going to bake the matzahs on Shabbos afternoon? That's not. So the Gaonim say, the Tur quotes in the name of the Gaonim, you have to bake the matzahs on the Leil HaSeder. On the Leil HaSeder, you have to bake it on Matzoi Shabbos. So the Achreinim is, but you can't shech the Korban Pesach on Saturday night. You have to shech the Korban Pesach dafka on Shabbos in the afternoon. So you're not preparing the matzah at the same time that you're supposed to prepare the Korban Pesach. So what have you gained? That's what the Rishonim, the Achreinim, taina. That's Rav Soloveitchik, because the Rav Chaim held it cannot be. He held that Rashi is impossible. How can he say such a thing? That you're not yotze. That's Rashi's lashon. You're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah if the matzahs were not baked erev Pesach afternoon. It's not found in Rashi in the Gemara. We don't have it. Rashi and the Gemara doesn't write it, but the Ozarua and the Shiboli Haleket and the Tur all quote from Rashi and the Gonim. Many Bali Atesis and Rishonim held like this Rashi. It's just not Yetzir Matzah if it wasn't baked after Chatzos. So they all ask the Kasha, how can it be? What if Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos? That's what the Vilna Goyen Tainas like that, Rav Chaim Brisker Tainas, they held the whole thing was ridiculous. And the Goinim say no, then you have to bake the Matzahs on Leil HaSeder. So they ask, but you can't bring the Korban Pesach on Leil HaSeder. He would allow you to. Ablazer would allow you to bake the matzahs on Shabbos. Yeah, if Rashi is right, he would allow you to bake the matzahs on Shabbos. If the din said that you're not yaitzei, if Rashi is right that you're not yaitzei mitzvahs matzah unless it was baked on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, then it would be Deicha Shabbos, right? We would hold matzah, but Ablazer would say that yes. Unless Rav Loza will agree like the Gaonim. The Gaonim say when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, then you have to bake the matzahs on Leil Pesach on Saturday night. But that's the Kasha. But you can't bring the Korban Pesach on Matzoi Shabbos. The Korban Pesach can only be brought on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, not on Leil Pesach.
Can you roast it?
Yeah, you can roast it. That's the shaila. What the
Mishnah Pesachim has the whole Meisah, how what they did with the call with the Erev Pesach, they go to the Beis Hamikdash and how they check the carbon and hold it up, and they say nothing about matzah. So where does Rashi have an anfal that he's supposed to bake the matzah? Doesn't say anything
to Mishnah at all about it. Oh, right. That's why we don't pass like Rashi. That's why we don't pass like Rashi. That's what Rashi and the Gaonim and the Mishnah, they all say like that, that you're not Yotzei Matz unless they bake their Pesach after Chatzos.
On the contrary,
so that's the Kasha.
Sometimes they might have a pack of baked matzahs on their Pesach. They didn't have factories back then today. They must have baked
them. Maybe. No, not if it's Shabbos. No, not if it's Shabbos. Certainly not. No.
Shabbos is the whole Shiloh where you're allowed to check the Gaonim.
No,
right. No, but you clearly don't bake the matzahs on Shabbos. That's for sure now. Nobody holds like that. But the Gonim say you have to bake the matzahs on Matzoi Shabbos on the Leil Pesach. So the Kasha is, what do you fadin? What do you gain? That's not the Zman that's good for Hakrovas at Pesach. So Achreinim answer that Kasha. They say no, that it is the Zman that's Kasha for Hakrovas at Korban Pesach. Because Rashi has a comment on Psochim, Rashi and the Gemara. In the beginning of Perik Eilu Dvorim, Rashi says that the Shechitas HaPesach must take place on Erev Pesach. And it cannot take place on Leil Pesach because he cannot shech karbonas balayla. He cannot do avodas karbonas balayla. So the Achreinim eskashas, the Chassam Sofer and others eskashas on Rashi. What does Rashi say? Because he cannot bring karbonas balayla. Even if he could have brought karbonas balayla, but the Leil Pesach is Yom Tezvav. The Korban Pesach has to be offered on Yom Yudalid. Let's say karbonas can be offered by Yom. Can you bring the Korban Pesach on Yud Gimel Nissen? Can you bring it today in the afternoon? It's the wrong day. You have to bring it bayom, and you dalit bayom. So even if there were no din, that Laila is no good for karbonis. But tezvav is no good. It's man of the karbon pesach.
But karbonis, the night follows the day, not the day follows the night.
Oh, so the Achreinim answer that that's what Rashi holds. That since legabi karbonis, the Gemara says in Perikiso Hadam and Chulin that legabi karbonis halayla hoylech achrayoyim, that the night follows the day. So when the halacha requires, when the chumer says you have to bring the korban pesach makriv zayin shecht and zarek the dam of the korban pesach and yom yudalid, the night after yom yudalid is also considered yom yudalid for all other purposes. It's called yom tezvav. Tezvav begins at shkia, at seisa kohavim. Pesach begins at night because it's tezvav. That's because outside of the Beis Hamikdash. But as far as karbanis is concerned, you say halayla helach achrayim. So the halacha that says you have to bring the korban pesach on yudalid could have applied to what we call Leil Tezvav. That's called Leil Yudalid. You would have been able to bring it. Rashi says it's not for the fact that it's Lailo. That's why it's no good. So the Achreinim say that's the teretz on this Shitas Rashi. That really Leil Tezvav, what we call the night of the Seder, is in theory it's the Zman for Hakrovas HaPesach. It's in theory the Zman for Hakrovas HaPesach. The only thing is that Karbonis may not be brought by Lailo. But matzah, there's no such din that you can't bake matzah by Lailo. That's only a din in Karbonis. The Hekesh only says that the same Zman, in principle, in theory, in abstract theory, and the same Zman that you need for Hakrovas HaPesach, you need for Hachonas HaMatzah. So what we call Leil Tezvav is in theory still the right Zman for Hakrovas HaPesach. So that's why you can bake the matzahs, and that's why the Gonim and the Rishonim and Rashi and all the Balei HaTosfos, they insisted that when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you can only be Yotzei Matzah with matzah that was baked on Leil Tezvav. Something that we now the Chassidim don't do that, do they? They, yeah, don't. They still bake. Some of them still bake the matzahs now on Pesach. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, they'll bake it. That's what Rashi. That's what all the Balei HaTosfos did like that. The kasha is though, what do they do for the second seder? What do they do for the matzahs for the second seder? Why do we have a second seder? The Minchas Alozer is bothered with this kasha. He quotes a chacham echad. He doesn't say by name who. A chacham echad asked the kasha, if Rashi and the Gaonim are right that the matzahs must be baked on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, so why do you have a yontov sheni shel galus? Why do we have a second seder? Why do we have a second day yontov? Because we act as if the first day yontov was really Erev Pesach, and the second day Yontif is Pesach. So then you have to bake the matzahs on the first day Yontif in the afternoon. So that you're not allowed to do, because the first day Yontif is Yontif Deraisa. We know for sure that that's the real Yontif Deraisa. The second day Yontif is only Yontif Derabbanan. So you're not permitted to do any malachas, any preparation, no hachone on the first day Yontif or the second day Yontif. So you're not allowed to. No, an Erev Tavshilin wouldn't help. Erev Tavshilin only helps when it's for Yontif to Shabbos. But from the first day Yontif to the second day Yontif, we're not permitted to ben shlich, we're not permitted to carry anything. Since the person wants to carry, person wants to learn Mishnayis and Shul, the second night of Pesach is going to carry the Mishnayis on the first day of Pesach to learn at night. Not allowed to. Unless you're going to learn in the daytime also. You're only permitted to do a melacha, unless a person left his chickens in the freezer. And he wants the chickens to, he wants the meat or whatever to thaw out, so they're going to take it out on the first day Yontif to thaw it out in order to warm it up on the night of the second day Yontif. So that's a problem, what you do. If the person forgot and left in the freezer, I say it's kashayla. There are details in the chayodim what you do. The chayodim didn't have a freezer, but he gives us a similar shayla what to do. So you have problems there. So the shayla is, what are you going to do? You're going to bake, never heard that anybody, you're not allowed to bake matzahs on the first day Pesach for the second day. So you're going to tell me, you have to bake the matzahs the night of the second day Pesach. Just like when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So they're makbid to bake on Shabbos night. The Leil HaSeder. So every second day Pesach is Erev Pesach, only is B'yontif. If you consider the second day Yontif as the real Yontif, so then Erev Yontif is the first day Yontif. Because Erev Pesach Shechali is the Yontif. So you have to bake the matzahs on the night of the second Seder. Nobody heard that anybody should do that. Even Rashi and the Bali Atayis, nobody did that. Nobody baked on the second night. So the Kasha said, well, they fadin. So they're baking the matzahs too early in advance. How would they yait to the mitzvah of matzah on the second day Pesach with the matzahs that were baked on Erev Pesach in the afternoon? But it's a sveik of the yaima. But we treat it as if it's a sveik of the yaima. That's the pella. That's what the Minchas Olah says. Quote Hiksha Chachamecha. Then the Minchas Olah says, bothered with another kasha. He says he doesn't understand the lashon that the Shibboleth Halakha quotes. Many Rishonim, all the Rishonim quote that this is Rashi. We don't have in Rashi in the Gemara. They quote that this was Rashi's practice. Rashi said, "You're not yaitz to the matzahs if they weren't baked on Erev Pesach et chatzos." The Torah quotes from the Goyim and the Rishonim, everybody quotes Rashi, but the Shibboleth Halakha quotes the following lashon that doesn't appear in the others. If you bake the matzahs before Chatzois, if you bake a Shmura matzah before Chatzois, Yeroiver and Issa derais. What's the lashon? Yeroiver and Issa derais. Say, you're not Yaitzah the Mitzvah derais of matzah. You're not Yeroiver and Issa derais. If you shech the Korban Pesach before Chatzois, then Yeroiver and Issa derais. You killed an animal and you have a Korban. And you ruin the carbon because you shechted it shaloi kimitzvah. You're going to tell me you baked matzahs before Chatzos. What's the yisad deraisa? What's an avera? Well, how can you say there's an avera? It's an avera to bake matzahs before Chatzos. How can you use a lashon izayver and isura deraisa ike? What kind of an isura deraisa is there? Zog that you're not yet to the mitzvah deraisa of matzah. So that's why the Minchas Olah is prompted to say a pshat, which he himself is made that he considers very wild. He says that since the Gemara speaks of a hekesh between matzah and korban Pesach. And we have a din regarding the Korban Pesach. You're not permitted to shech the Korban Pesach calls man that you have chomets babayis. So perhaps the Gonim and perhaps Rashi is of the opinion that this love of you're not permitted to shech the Korban Pesach at a time that you have chomets in your possession applies also to the hachanas ha-matzis. Ha-ekesh? So you're not permitted to prepare matzis mitzvah at a time that you possess chomets. It's not that Rashi meant to say a hekish that the matzahs are only good if they were prepared at a time that's kosher for shechitas ha-pesach. No, so what's going to be with our Pesach holy is b'shabbos. So we stood on our head and we gave a whole teretz how the night of Pesach is okay. But he says that teretz is good only for the first night of Pesach when it's holy is b'shabbos. What's with the second night of the second Seder? He said he never heard that anybody in the world should bake matzahs. Gran Achsidish Rebbe says never heard that anybody should bake matzahs the night of the second Seder. So he says he doesn't think that's pshat in Rashi. He doesn't think that. He suggests maybe Rashi never meant to say you need the same zman hachona for the matzah as the zman hachona for the korban pesach. Because the lashon of the Shibboleth like it is that he sura deraisa ike. So he suggests maybe Rashi means to say the preparation of the matzahs which are going to be used for the mitzvah may not be done at a time that you have chametz in your possession.
So what about when you sell the chametz earlier?
Oh, so if you'll sell your chametz earlier is tov, then it'll be okay. So he said, that's what we do, Taka. For the second Seder, we eat matzahs that were baked on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Why? Why? But Erev Pesach was the day before Erev Pesach. If you're making believe that the second day Yontif is the first day Yontif, and the first day Yontif is Erev Pesach, so Erev Pesach is the day before Erev Pesach. So it was baked before Erev Pesach. The answer is, it doesn't matter because you sold your chametz already. As long as you don't have the chametz, you're not violating any law. That's what he said. And then he says, and this is what the Rishonim say. He said the Rishonim used the lashon when they're bothered with the kasha. How can you eat the matzah? How can you bake the matzahs on Pesach night when our Pesach falls out on Shabbos? Ah, oh, but it's not the zman haroy lahakrovas haPesach. So we gave a whole teretz machreinim that it is the zman haroy lahakrovas Pesach, but the Rashi and Eladvarim. But the Beis Yosef quotes in the Rishonim a different answer. They say, but on Pesach night you don't have any chametz in your possession. What kind of an answer is that? But that's not the zman haroyel hakrovas haPesach. So he says, no, that's probably what Rashi meant all along, that you don't want to violate the law of lasizbach al chametz dam zipper. It's a shver pshat. It's a very shver pshat.
Isn't it significant that Rashi didn't write it down, that everybody quoted it and never wrote it?
No, we have a lot of psakim from Rashi that are not found in there. This is a psak of Rashi. Rashi and the Gemara just gives a pirush. Rashi rarely gives a psak on the Gemara. Once in a long while, Rashi will include a psak. But usually the psakim are found quoted by the Talmidim of Rashi, not this one. Rashi and the Gemara just a mafarsh. This is quoted by all the Rishonim quote this from Rashi and from Gaonim before. Rashi wasn't the originator of this. Rashi just saying over, he's masking with the psak of the Gaonim who preceded him. And all the Gaonim were machma like that. They have dafke matzah mitzvahs baked on their face. We don't pass like Rashi. In the Shulchan Aruch, we don't pass like Rashi, that's all. Nothing to be nervous about. There are Tanoim and Amorim that we don't pass like also. You don't pass like Rashi. This is good fellow. You don't have to be nervous.
You said that the concept of matzah is only chalav when chometz is there.
Oh.
If you're going to bake matzah after tos, and chometz has already been mirrored, so where is the concept
of matzah? So this is how Rav Soloveitchik suggests. So far we gave two explanations of Rashi Shita. Rashi and the Gonim, why one is only yotzei in the mitzvah matzah if it was baked on Erev Pesach after chatzos. So the one explanation, the popular explanation, is that Rashi seems to say there's a hekesh between hachonas ha-matzah and hachonas ha-korban, that you can only prepare the matzah at a time that it's royal ha-krovas ha-korban pesach. And then the Minchas Haloza wants to say no, that the way the Shabbalei Aleket quotes and the way the Beis Yosef quotes it, it sounds like a whole different pshat, which he says himself is very shver. He should say there's a lot of sizbach ha-chomet dam zivchi. You're not allowed to prepare matzahs for mitzvah at a time that you have chomets. He considers it very shver. But he says that's what it seems that there are Rishonim who hold, that you're not allowed it. The reason why, not that you wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah. You would be yotze the mitzvah of matzah if you eat this matzah that was baked earlier. What we do is fine. The only thing is that the baker, the one who baked this shmura matzah before Purim, is violating an iso of los hisbach. He has hamantashen in his possession on Purim when he's baking these matzahs mitzvah. So he's violating an aver of los hisbach hachomet tam sifchin, isura the rice. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that both were very difficult. So he gave his interpretation. His interpretation is not found in any Rishonim. He said like that, when you bake the matzah, the din is you have to bake the matzah lishmo. And it has to get a shein matzah at the time that you're baking it. Now the Ramban says that the only time, the Ramban and the Balamor both say, the only time something has a shein matzah is if it's in contrast to chometz. If you have an existence, you have a concept of chometz now, it's a zman that you have a concept of chometz, then you can have a concept of matzah. You're going to bake matzah and Purim time, there's no concept of Issa Chomet, so there's no Shein Matzah Chal. There's no Shein Matzah Chal, so how can you call it Asir Lishmo? You're creating a Heftz of Matzah Lishmo. There's no Shein Matzah, there's no Shein Chomet. So when does the Shein Chomet come into existence? So the Ramban said that Midirabbanon, the Shein Chomet comes into existence, the Leil Bevikas Chomet. Because Midirabbanon, you already have to start looking for the Chomet. That's Midirabbanon, you have to look for the Chomet. But when does the Shein Chomet come into existence, Minatayra? Only after Chatzos, because Menatera, the only zman that you begin to have any shame chometz is at Chatzos at Erev Pesach. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that after Chatzos, that you have a shame chometz Menatera, it's relevant, then you can begin to have a shame matzah, then you can speak of baking matzah lishma. Before Chatzos, it's not going to have a shame matzah. How can you call it asiyah lishma? What are you making matzah? It's not going to be called matzah after you make it. But the reason for Rashi perhaps is not because of a hek. Rashi himself says a hekish stone. That's why the Rishonim have difficulty. What do you do when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos and you bake on Leil HaSeder? So where's the Hekish? Rav Soloveitchik suggested, according to his pshat, this wouldn't be a problem. As long as you bake your Shmura Matzah after the Zman of Issa Chometz begins. And as far as the second night of Pesach,
so it's also it already exists, the Issa Chometz.
The whole problem of the second night is that Midirabbanon, I have to consider the second day of Pesach as the first day of Pesach. The first day Pesach is there, but the Issa Chometz Deraisa is here already. Chometz Deraisa is here. So as far as the Din Derabbanan, Chometz Deraisa is here. So if it were a Din Der, if it were really a Sveka Diyama Deraisa, so then you talk have a problem. Maybe there was no Shem Chometz, maybe there's no Shem Matzah. But Min HaTorah, I know that the Shem Chometz begins already from Chatzos and Erev Pesach.
Shiloh would be on those days
when they really had a Sveka Diyama. When they really had a Sveka Diyama. That would be a problem. Okay, it's late, we'll have to stop now. Next week, Belinda, we'll have to talk about more lamaisa aspect.
Get it together.
How are you?